Welcome, everyone. How are you guys doing tonight? Good? You happy to be here? Oh, me too. Me too. Happy to have you. So let's see where we left off. Last two classes, we learned about the beautiful structure of our universe, the beautiful rules to the game of life for all of us, for every soul in this world. We learned that there is a creator, a force of only positivity. What emanates from this force, we called what? The light. The light is this positive force of fulfillment that within this light encapsulates all the pleasure mankind is looking for. If it's health, if it's love, if it's friendship, if it's clarity, if it's purpose, if it's mission, if it's the removal of our guilt and our fears, whatever, that's within the light of the Creator. The same way there's a sun and there are rays of the sun, there is a Creator and there are these rays that come from the Creator that are called the light of the Creator. We learned that the Creator created us. The term that we used for all of our souls is what? The vessel. The vessel was designed to receive all the light. We didn't get deep into why we're here in this physical world, but the bottom line is, and we'll speak about it in future classes, the bottom line is the vessel needed to earn the light. We cannot receive the light for free. Therefore, the vessel shattered, and here we are, all the souls of humanity. We look different. We feel separated from each other. We're mainly only in touch with our own feelings and sensitivities, but it's a work in progress. We're learning how to care about other people, how to feel their needs, how to be unconditional, how to give without an agenda. More or less, this is where evolution is taking us. And we come into this world to transform our nature to be like the light of the Creator. This is called the law of affinity. Not law of attraction. It's close. But the law of affinity states that when two things are alike, they will come together. And this is a golden rule in Kabbalah. When two things are alike, they come together. When two things are different, they will grow far apart. If my goal is to receive the light of the Creator, I must have affinity with that light. I must learn what are the attributes of the light and emulate those attributes to transform whatever it is about me that's not the light to become like the light. We've learned that the attributes within each one of us that we have brought into this world since the time of creation and we carry as baggage from life to life is called our Tikkun, very good. Tikkun literally means correction. T-I-K-K-U-N. Tikkun is my personal correction, baggage I came to the world with. My tikkun is actually what's separating me from being like the light. My tikkun could be anger. My tikkun could be the need to control. My tikkun could be fear of abandonment. My tikkun could be the constant jealousy I have. Even if it's, I don't think I'm jealous, but I feel lack every time I see someone has something that I don't, and it bothers me. Even though I want them to have it too, by the way. We're not saying jealousy is, I don't want them to have it. Jealousy is, I'm happy that they have it. Oh, but I wish I had it. I wish I had it. That's even jealousy. Even that needs to be transformed. Judgment, the sarcasm, the cynicism, the depression, the sadness, the laziness, the need for approval, the need for people to like us, the need to get things my way in the way I want it, the need for constant energy. All of these things are branches of tikkun, aspects of tikkun. And as time goes on, each one of us will get more in touch with my correction. We went even deeper. We said, okay, my soul is here to work on its tikkun. Well, how do I know what my tikkun is? Right? Isn't that the one question everybody asks? Great concept. How do I know what I need to change? This is where people come in. The people who are in our lives are designed to be there with precision and perfection, and there is nothing random about the child you gave birth to, about the sister that followed you years after you were born, about your brother, about why you came into the world to those parents, why you have the boss you have, who might be a difficult boss, why you are in a work environment that you might feel is toxic. All of that was already predetermined for you, for us, because the Creator saw that that's exactly what we need for our tikkun. That is why we can never escape our correction. If you try to change the external, the internal is still the same. You can go to another country. You can get a new job. You can get a divorce. You can move on and change the physicality, but the tikkun will always follow. Always follow. And that's the purpose of relationships. One of the purposes of relationships. There are many others which we're going to learn. So these are the concepts we have learned so far. What I want you to do, also as a way for your groups, for you and your group to get to know one another, I want you to share, of all the concepts we've learned so far, how have you found that it relates to you in your life? We also learned about reactive behavior. So just to make the distinction, based on what my tikkun is, that's where I'm going to be reactive. If my tikkun is I need approval, then I'm always going to get reactive when I don't get approval. When somebody doesn't compliment me. Let's say I got a new haircut that kind of was a risk for me. And everyone tells me, wow, what a beautiful new hair color style you have. I love the cut. And you say, thank you. And 10 more people say, so nice, I really like it. You say, thank you. And then someone comes to you and just starts talking to you and doesn't even mention your hair. You feel it. Some of you feel it here. Some of you feel it here. The anxiety, the stress, the feeling of lack. Even as they're talking, you're not listening to them. You're just thinking, what about my hair? Why did this person not see your hair? Because the Creator made sure that they would not see it to awaken the tikkun. And then once the tikkun is awakened, we become reactive. Reactive means I do something to get energy. Something so simple as, oh, by the way, what do you think of my hair? That's reactive. Because why are you asking? Why are you asking? You're asking because you want energy. You want instant gratification. You're not thinking about acting like, would the light ask? Would God ask, what do you think of my hair? If you don't know what to do, just say, if I was God, what would I do? Would I say what I'm about to say if I was God? And if you think it sounds foolish that God would say that, guess what? It's probably not something we need to say. So take a moment and share each person, not too long, but so that everybody gets a chance, what is a way that you've seen Kabbalah applies to you? How have you applied it? Or what's the concept that you feel most connected to, that you're excited to use in your life? I'll give you a couple minutes that each person can share. So please turn your chairs, face the tables, and give each other some love. Welcome back. Turn your chairs. Also, let's make sure that we have our phones completely off so it doesn't disturb our connection. So I want to give about 5 minutes to answer questions. You guys ask amazing questions. Last week, I was super impressed at the depth of what you captured from the lesson of Tikkun. And I want to open up the forum that you can ask anything you want that will help you have clarity and the rest of the class. So we have the mic. We have two mics on each side. All right. All right, let's bring the mic. Please stand also and introduce yourself.
Sure, my name is Sally. My question is kind of in terms of trying to escape past martyrdom. I was always
past martyrdom.
I was always someone who would overexpend my energy trying to save other people. And since becoming very conscious of that a few years ago, now I've backed off too much. So it's in terms of, you know, how do you respect yourself when you're trying to figure out that boundary and you're kind of trying to aim for self-preservation, but you don't want to, you know, go too overboard, you know, and neither way, whether it's like all on or all off.
Great question. Do you like Sally's question? It's a good one. How many people sometimes overgive to help or save someone? Raise your hand. Oh, that's almost everybody in the class. So great. Thank you, Sally. So basically, we're going to learn about this in a couple weeks, about overgiving, undergiving, and the poison that it is sometimes. In this case, sometimes, why do we overgive? Why do we try to save people? We think we're sharing, but we're not sharing. How do we know? Because we're giving to a vessel that can't handle it, to a vessel that's not ready to receive it, to a vessel that's not going to appreciate it. And when you give to a vessel that can't receive, by definition, you are no longer sharing, you are taking. We have to learn to be sensitive to what people are ready to receive. It's like if I said, can you pour me some water? And you said, absolutely, I love to share. And you started pouring water for me, and you poured beyond the glass. And the water is spilling all down my shirt and getting me wet. And you're just smiling at me, but I love to share water. I just love it so much. I just want to share all the water in this bottle of mine. All my water is for you. Yes, but I only have a 6-ounce glass. I don't care. I want to give you 32 ounces of water. I want to give you, in fact, I feel like if I give you so much water now, you'll never be thirsty the rest of the day. No, that's not how it works. You can't overgive now and think that that's going to solve my problem today and tomorrow. The fact that some people want to overgive, because that's the easy thing to do for them. That's also sometimes we come from fear. We come from, I'm afraid you won't like me. I'm afraid that I won't feel productive. A lot of people overgive because they need to feel like they're giving and they're productive. Otherwise, they won't feel value of themselves. So the intention comes from a selfish place, comes from a tikkun. We have to really be honed in to what the vessel needs. Has someone ever shared something with you and they're not being sensitive to the fact that you're no longer interested in listening to them? How can this be? It means that the person is sharing the story selfishly for themselves. They're not sharing because they think they're adding value to you. They're sharing because they want to hear themselves talk. So are they giving or are they taking? They're taking. So they are being reactive. Now, if we want to know where it comes from, it's probably some form of insecurity or tikkun. That if they could just fix this tikkun, everybody would love to be around them. Aren't there some people that you just don't want to hang out with because you label them as draining? Now, you might think that they're draining. Why? Because they actually talk too much. They expend too much energy, hence it becomes draining. Does that make sense? Even as you share at your tables, feel free to share, but also be sensitive to, I also want to share in a way that I can add value to the table. That means not share too much. That also means don't be closed and shut down and not share at all, because that's also selfish. So that's what happens. We overgive. We get hurt because it doesn't fit with the laws of the universe. We get chaos. So what do? We withdraw and we don't give at all. Another form of reactive behavior. In the first way, it's because I wanted approval. In the second way, it's because I'm trying to protect myself. In both cases, who am I thinking about? Me. And I'm never thinking about the other person. And that's how, in both cases, we don't feel the light. Great question. Any other questions? Yes, we have a mic over here. If you could stand, yeah. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Izzy. This is my second time taking the course. And I remember I was 18 when I took it the first time. And I
How old are you now?
I'm old. I'm 24.
24? That's old.
I feel really
old. Oh, so old.
But that's my question, because when I first took it, I remember...
She was almost embarrassed to tell us. Did you realize that?
No, like, yeah.
Don't reveal my age. After 23, we just don't reveal anymore.
Well, it is LA, so...
It is LA.
But when I first took the course, I felt like, you know, I heard this concept, it was amazing, and I had maybe one, two tikkuns that I felt like I really wanted to attack, and now I feel like I have 500. So my question is, do tikkuns get worse or more nefarious as you get older? Is that something, or
Great question. The truth is, as you reveal the light of your soul, thank you, good question. As you reveal the light of your soul, what happens when you shine light in a dark room? You see the beauty, but you also see the mess. You see the garbage. You see the dust. You see the particles. So as we grow and elevate, you will uncover tikkun. You will transform it. And that tikkun will bring you, that transformation will bring you blessings. The light will bring you gifts. And it's the best part of what we're doing here. But with that gift will come the next tikkun and actually more. So you keep uncovering more opportunity to reveal those treasures. Does that make sense? So when we see a lot of our garbage, that's a good sign. It means we're getting closer to the light of the Creator. A person who doesn't see any of their garbage, it's because they're not, the light's not shining on them. They're just in their own bubble, convincing themselves that everything's okay. When people say, I don't think I have any tikkun, nothing bothers me, this is a red flag. Red flag, because obviously we all have tikkun. We all have something we need to correct. And when I'm not in touch with that, I need to really ask to be in touch with that and open myself, because if I'm not, what usually gets us in touch with what we need to change? Pain and suffering wakes us up. We don't want pain and suffering. We want to connect mercifully. So, great question. All right, one more question. Anybody? Yeah, great.
Hi, my name is Nicole. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about the purpose of life before my career and my family were like my main purpose. And I feel like relationships, people come and go. And in Kabbalah, what do you believe is the main purpose of life?
Of why people come and go into your life?
Not people coming and going, but in general, like why we're here, what is the purpose? Is it just to correct our tikkuns or the interaction, or, you know, why?
It's a great question. It's a great question. Our purpose, as simple as we can put it, is to reveal all the blessings that the Creator has set aside for you. So before you came to this world, the Creator created every gift you can imagine. Every pleasure, every joyous moment, every beautiful relationship, your soulmate, every prize has already been scattered around the world. It's like a scavenger hunt. It's a scavenger hunt to collect every gift. And in fact, if you leave this world, having not gotten every pleasure and gift that the Creator has set aside for you, you haven't achieved the purpose of creation. Now, subconsciously, we know we are supposed to receive these gifts. We know we're supposed to find our soulmate. We know we're supposed to be happy. But we go and we chase it reactively. So what happens is we taste it and then we lose it. And a person leaves this world feeling not satisfied or complete. So in Kabbalah, we're learning through our transformation, the transformation of ourselves, the gifts will come to us. If you find that you're a seeker, it's a problem. I'm always seeking, I'm learning. I love learning and running around the world seeking things. It's kind of a sign that maybe I can look a little bit more within. Because by transforming myself, the things that I'm seeking will come to me. The gifts will come to me. That's the purpose. The Creator wants to give us everything, and we are here to receive. The word Kabbalah means to receive. That's our purpose. And we're just learning the rules of life of how to be able to receive.
Thank you.
Great question. All right. Are you ready for the next concept? All right. Free will or fate? What do you think? Is our destiny already written? Or is everything up for grabs and we have complete free will and choice every moment? What do you feel? Free will? Raise your hand if you think it's total free will, random. It's all about what you want. Raise your hand. Okay, 5 people. How many of you believe fate, it's already written? Okay, so then why are you here if it's already written? Obviously, you believe you can change something. So what's the answer? The answer is, it's both. And we're going to understand why tonight. So let's refer to the slide. What do we see here? We see a movie theater, a Cineplex. And there are movies, different movies, in different theaters. When we are born, we have a certain destiny that's already pre-written. Did you know that? Think about where you were born. Los Angeles, New York, Hong Kong, France, Africa. From that moment that you were born, there was a destiny that was already completely pre-written. Everything. Every man or woman you would ever date. The career you would end up with. Every sneeze was written. Every painful moment you would go through was written. Every tragedy, every trauma, already scripted. If you don't like the movie you're watching, can you just stop the film for a moment? Talk to the actors and say, listen, guys, this scene, it's not working for me. I want you to do it this way. I would like you to change. I'm not fulfilled by now. I'm not fulfilled right now with the movie I'm watching. Can you do that? So, it's already written. That's exactly how your destiny is already written. From birth, you cannot go to the actors and say, Alex, I don't like the role you're playing in my life. I would like you to change. I would like you to be more sensitive and caring to me and think about me more. I feel you don't think about me. I would like you to think about me. Me telling Alex he needs to change is similar to me saying, stop the film, stop the show. Let me talk to the actress for a moment and tell her what I would like to happen next. It's stupid. In this world, we think that works. I think if I can go to Alex right now and tell him, Alex, you need to change. This is not working for me. We think that we actually change Alex. And by the way, he might even change. It might even look like he's changing. Like physically, he might talk to you differently. He might all of a sudden care about you a different way. But in Kabbalah, we learn nothing has changed. Even though it looks like he's changing, you will still have the same exact problem, challenge, and level of fulfillment that you had even before you spoke to him. In fact, you'll probably have less because you speaking to Alex and trying to change him is a form of reactive behavior. It's a form of trying to just fill my lack. So what free will do I have? How do I change my movie? Your only choice you have is to get up, walk out, and go to another movie. Hence, we have many destinies. Destiny 2, Destiny 3, Destiny 4, infinity. There are infinite destinies, parallel destinies and realities. Get this, this is kind of mystical, that are playing simultaneously. Can you believe it? Right now, there is a version of each one of us playing in infinite different scripts. And each one of them are pre-written, yes or no? Yes. So even though I'm single today and I don't like it and I'm looking for a relationship, that's the movie I'm watching. Is there a movie where I'm not single and I feel happy in my relationship? Yes or no? Is it playing right now? How do I get there? How do I get there? How do you find the right theater? Do you go out to more places? Do you introduce yourself to more people? Is that how you switch the movie? So this is a concept that for me totally changed the way I looked at life when I first learned it. Your destiny is written. How do you shift up and how do you shift down? Every time you shift up, a better movie, a better script, with better actors, more fulfillment. Every time you shift down, not so good, less fulfillment, more chaos. If you're having chaos right now, or you're going through a challenge and you want to get out of it, you got to switch the movie. The only way to switch a movie is when you feel pain. It's the only window. If today was the best day ever and I felt no discomfort, no pain, no challenge, you can't shift today. There was no shifting happening today. We need those days. It's good to have those simple days where everything's just nice. Green lights, constant green lights, constant compliments. Everybody loves us. Synergy at work. I mean, just synergy. Just works so well. And just teamwork and community. And just me and my partner, we just click. Psychic connection. I mean, finishing my sentences. He gets me, I get him. It's just, yes, yes. What a great day. Vacation. Laying on the beach, going on the plane, getting a nice upgrade. Wow, nice. It all works so nice. The upgrade, sitting in business class, sitting in an exit row, getting nice treatment. Sir, can I bring you some orange juice? So nice. Everything's so nice. No shifting happening. It's good. We need to get upgraded and enjoy ourselves sometimes. But if you're interested in shifting your movie, what you might be interested in is those challenges that come. The moment you feel reactive and you pause, what a pleasure. Pause, I'm not going to be reactive. What a pleasure. I love it. I accept it. You shift. You shift to a new movie with a better husband, a better wife, a new husband. In fact, every day you could be married to a new man. Isn't that exciting? Every day you can come home to a different spouse. That's how it works. If you don't like what's happening, if right now your friend Alex isn't treating you well, by the way, Alex is a great guy, I'm picking on him. If Alex isn't treating you well, you're going to want to change him. Be defensive. Alex, nag at him. Pause. What a pleasure. I love it. I'll be back. I'm going to go to my room. I'm going to sit. I'm going to ask myself, why is Alex in my movie? Step two. Wow, Alex is showing me something. Maybe he's reflecting something about me that I don't like. Maybe he's just triggering a weakness or a lack that I have. Wow, he's triggering my need for approval. Oh, I want to change it. What a pleasure. Shift. Now, this shift that happened, you go back, Alex will be different. Will he be so different that he's no longer a problem for you? I'm not sure. Maybe you have to shift many times for that. But it's better. If you want to shift, if you don't like your career, then every challenge that happens in your career, you say, pause, what a pleasure, and you change something about yourself, you get a better career. A better career to the point that maybe you get fired. Even though you didn't like the job, you got fired, and now you're insecure. What do you say? Oh, what a pleasure. What a pleasure that is that I have no job security. And I have no idea how I'm going to pay my rent. No clue how I'm going to pay my rent next week. I trust. I love it. And by loving it, I shift to a movie where the rent will come. The better job will come. The better scenario will come. Whatever it is, a better destiny. It's not for us in Kabbalah to say what it's going to be. It's for us to realize that we shift to a reality where there's less darkness or more darkness. And every time we're reactive, we shift where? Down. So every movie is already scripted. You can't change the movie. You can only change how you shift. Does that make sense? Yes or no? What movie are you in right now? If you're being bombarded by constant challenges, it's because the universe is excited to show you a movie that's playing 20 floors up. Waiting for you. You may wake up one. Some people here say, you know what? I'm not interested in having kids. I don't need kids. We're good. Yeah, my spouse, we're not interested in kids. No problem. What happens if you watch a movie one day and you start to really, it's like a tearjerker and some kind of movie that involves someone having a kid. And then you look at your husband and say, you know, I think I want kids. And he says, me too. I want. But in this reality, there's no kids happening. you try, you try, nothing. You try, nothing. We have to shift to a movie where a child will come into our world. We got to change ourselves. We're going to go through some pain. Actually, at that moment that you said you want kids, you'll start to have challenges. Why? Because the universe is listening to you. The creator is saying, yes, you want kids? You're a Destiny 5, and Destiny 27 has an amazing child waiting for you. Let's get there. You need 22 challenges. But just to make it practical, life is in your hands, your free will. You cannot change the script. It's painful to think that. Now, sometimes doing the proactive thing means confronting someone, but we're not there yet. We haven't learned about confrontation when that's the right thing to do. We're almost there. We haven't gotten there yet. For now, it's about taking challenges as they come and transforming them is the best way for us to shift. Take a moment now, very quickly, in your own words, and share this concept of parallel destinies with the person sitting next to you, in pairs. Please. All right, everyone. All right. I just want to hear one or two, if you want, one or two questions about this topic before we move on to our last concept of the night. Let's go right here real quick.
Hello, my name is Seema. Here's my question. It seems to me there is a duality between the idea of predetermination and what your free will is. You brought up an example like you're in a job because you're supposed to know your boss, which you have, you're supposed to learn something. But at the moment I took that job, the moment I decided to take that job, wasn't I practicing my free will?
No.
No.
That job already chose you. Even though it looked like you went through all these interviews and you had six options and six offers on the table, it was already chosen for you.
Of your life, you have decisions you're making every moment that may keep you in this universe or take you to another universe. So is that your decision?
Which and I'm telling you, the only decision you have is to be reactive or not. That's the only free will you have. You don't choose who you marry. Now, the creator has already set out maybe 20 options of men you might marry. But which one you think you picked is determined by the amount of spiritual work you did before you met that person. Yeah. All right, one more question. Lisa, all right, please.
Sorry. So you said the moment that we decide to be reactive or proactive, it's our free will. But a statistic shows that the level of our hormones or the way we were raised is the direct influence in our behavior and in the way that we react and in the way, like the, as an example, the level of testosterone in our body.
Sure.
Is just, so how do you
count for that?
Yeah.
It's a great question. Does the level of testosterone have an effect on our decision-making ability of being proactive or reactive? The answer is yes. What causes my level of testosterone to be a certain way? Is a spiritual source.
So it's not biology? It's just not...
Well, even... it is biology. But what even caused that biology? What caused you to have certain parents that raised you that way? Remember? The source of my trauma isn't my parents. The trauma is the source of my parents. I'll say that again. My trauma I brought into this world is what caused me to choose those parents. Those parents, all they did is they awakened what was already there. They didn't cause it. That's why I have to take full responsibility for the pain I feel. No one can cause you pain. They just activate based on your request for activation so that you can go on your journey of transformation.
So we just basically should go against, kind of just accept the suffering that comes with it, to go against what is my natural way to react. Is that what you're saying? Just kind
That's a
of?
Great start. That's a great start. And to realize you have full control and full responsibility. Nobody is to blame. Even though there is a voice that wants us to blame all the time, which we're going to speak about now.
Like not blaming our, the hormones that were given
sure.
to us by biology.
Oh, blaming statistics.
Yeah.
Blaming the economy. Blaming politics. Blaming my parents. Blaming the person who abused me. Blaming my spouse. Blaming... Huh? I didn't say it. But blaming something external is the greatest trick of the opponent, which we're going to talk about right now. All right? Let's go to the next subject. Are you ready? Are you ready? You feel it? You're alive? You can handle one more secret?
Yes.
Bring it. Why is it so hard? Why do we blame? We just heard an amazing concept. We are in control. Made us feel good. But as soon as we walk out those doors, there's a voice in our head, a voice, a power. It's not even a voice, it's like a power that controls us when we're challenged. When our fears come up, do we remember Kabbalah? Do we remember our Kabbalah class? Go, oh, this is that beautiful moment I learned in class where I just say pause, what a pleasure, and I shift to a new movie and I meet my soulmate and everything works out. Oh, so nice. Pause, what a pleasure. My payment. It was my payment. We don't remember any of this. In fact, if we remember it, oh, this is that moment. I gotta say, pause, what a pleasure. Forget pause, what a pleasure. I wanna be reactive. I wanna be defensive. Somebody comes up to you and says, what's your name?
Aaron.
Aaron, I think you're not a sharing person. Do we say, wow, thank you. Amazing. Now I know what I need to work on to be closer to all the blessings I've ever been looking for. In fact, I wish people would always come and tell me exactly what they feel so that I can be on the fastest trajectory towards fulfillment. Is that what we say, all of us? We say, I'm selfish, you're selfish. You know what I did today? And we talk about 10 different sharing things we did. And maybe we are 90% sharing. But when the Creator sends us someone to identify the 10% we need to correct, called our tikkun, so that we can go to our next destiny, what happens? We forget about Kabbalah. Defensive. No, I'm sharing. Very sharing. You're selfish. In fact, I remember when you were selfish. And let me tell you a little bit about it. Why is it so hard? Why is it when I know I need to do something? I know I need to wake up at a certain time. I know I need to stop procrastinating. I know I need to stop being addicted to that thing, that pleasure, that little pleasure. The Kabbalists call it little pleasures. No, 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 no. Little. Little. I want a little pleasure right now. Why is it that the text is so hard to not text, to not know right now? I'm a control freak. I need to know what the answer is. Is it a yes or is it a no? Hello? So, what do you feel? What's the answer? And I know I need to pause and let go. I know I'm not being like the light. I know I'm not being like God. But there's a force that compels me. Call it hormones. The force comes in a mask of hormones. The force comes in a mask of being tired. The force comes in the mask of, I'm hungry. Oh, forgive me. I'm just very hungry right now. Forgive me. I've had a long day right now. Forgive me. I've been traveling a lot. My timetable is off. There is a force in this world created by the Creator. Almost like an angel. In Kabbalah, angels aren't what you think they are. They're just forces of energy. An angel is just a force of energy that has an intelligence. It has a mission. So sometimes I might use the word angel. Sometimes I'll use the word force. Both work. The Creator created an angel and said, you have a job. The souls of humanity desire to earn my light. They have negativity. I need you to go to be their opponent. To be their what? Opponent. What is an opponent? He opposes you. You need to go and challenge them to always be reactive. That's your job. As soon as they want to come closer to me, the light, you make sure they don't, that they choose and opt for instant gratification. You make sure that they chase the unavailable. You make sure that they make bad decisions that feel good now and bring destruction later. You make sure of it, and I give you everything that you need to make sure of it. You need money? Give them money. You need power? Give them power. Whatever you need, you have at your disposal. He has a name. This name was given thousands of years ago, before Hollywood was created. The name is Satan. We call it Satan because that's what contemporary times use. But 5,000 years ago, or even before, this force was given a name. Actually, the word Satan has numerology behind it, has an energy behind it. It's the energy of the opponent. That's all it is. So forget about Satan as we think with the devilish figure. Satan is just a force, a positive angel, disguised as a negative one, there to whisper in your ear whenever you're about to shift to a good destiny. He will offer you a way out for instant gratification. Satan is that voice when we wake up in the morning and we know we're going to have a challenging day and we have a little anxiety. Oh, it's going to be one of those days. Oh, it's going to be bad. You're going to be tired all day. You didn't get enough sleep. You have to deal with this person. You have to deal with that person. Satan is that voice when you're in the shower shampooing your hair and you start having arguments with people in your head. Arguments that don't even exist and probably never will exist. Satan says to you, you know what? This person's going to come and he's going to do this to you and he's going to block you at work and he's probably talking bad about you right now. And you're thinking, you know what? Yeah, I'm just visualizing what I'm going to say to him. Judging him. I hate this guy. What's going on? Nothing even happened. It's already Satan making you reactive in your head to shift you lower and lower. Pause. What a pleasure. No, Satan. Closed. You can't come in. Not allowed to let him in. When you feel Satan controlling you, the best way to neutralize him is to pause, right? We said the pause. Now I'm giving you another step in between pause and what a pleasure. Pause. Observe the voice of Satan. Observe it. Satan wants you to react to him. He doesn't want you to observe him. He wants you to think he doesn't exist, that it's you. You are bad. Your emotions are bad. Your hormones are just getting to you. He disguises himself that way. No, I see your trick. Observe. When you pause, you can say what a pleasure before or after you do this part, but just observe and say, wow, Satan, I see you in the flesh. I see you manipulating me. By the way, Satan only comes when there's a major gift coming. That's when he comes. Because he knows you're about to get a lot of light. That's when he attacks. If today there's a huge blessing waiting for you, you know when Satan's going to come? First 10 minutes of the day. When I wake up in the morning, and I see Satan in my bed, with my wife also, I realize today's going to be a good day. I wake up, and all of a sudden I feel not settled, maybe. And I'm sitting there, and Satan's like, hey, you know, there's a lot of things going on today. You don't want to deal with this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, Satan, wow. What are you doing here? He's like, what do you mean? I'm not even here. I'm like, no, I hear you. You want me not to be with the light. You're asking me to be reactive right now. You're asking me to just lay in bed and just roll around or whatever it is. You're asking me now to be insensitive to people and just be bad mood. I'm in a bad mood until I have my moment to, I'm in a bad mood. Satan, why are you here right now? He's like, no reason. I'm like, yes, there's a reason. There's a lot of light about to be revealed, isn't there? He's like, no. No. No, I'm not even here. Yes, you are. You're here. This is me, my head on the pillow. This is a good sign. I feel lack right now. I feel upset. I feel hurt. I'm hurt because something happened to me yesterday, and I'm still thinking about it. It's still bothering me. I have anxiety about it now. Satan, why are you giving me anxiety? Because something good is coming. I love it. I'm so excited now. In fact, when you see Satan, that's indication some gift is coming. That's why we're excited. We're not just excited because I'm telling you to be excited even though it's horrible. It's exciting because that's the indication that the goodness is coming. And it usually gets very bad until it opens up. It actually gets very dark until it opens up. So a bad day is a good day. A good day is an okay day. Satan rules us until we can observe him. Then his power is taken away. He's a force. He's there. It's okay. He's there to challenge us. And guess what? However strong or spiritual you are, Satan is right at your level. And as you grow, he grows. That's the beauty of it. It's like a tournament. Every time you get higher in the tournament, does your opponent get weaker? It's higher. It's beautiful. We should respect Satan. We should love Satan. We should love his job. He's got a difficult job, and he's very good at it. And you know what the best part about him is? He doesn't care about the fact that he gets no respect. He's helping us, and we hate him. He gets no respect, and he's still helping us. He's helping us get close to the light. I don't want to live my life by Satan's plan. I want to live by the light of the Creator. I want to earn the light every day, step by step, progress, not perfection, little by little. Every day that you just notice him, you're plugged into the light. Just a little notice. Ah, Satan, I got you. You're with the light. So before we break for today, where do you feel Satan is loudest in your life? Please. Did everyone get a chance? You guys, it hasn't gotten to you guys yet? Are you guys talk too much? Oh. This? You're being triggered by their talking, huh? Can you share this in front of the class? All right, everybody. So we had something happen at the break, which I think it's important to bring up. So I walked over to this table. Right at the perfect moment. The gentlemen were sharing, I think, some not very nice things you were sharing. And I asked, did everybody get a chance to share? So Sipora started to share something. Can you stand and share what you shared? And I think it's important, by the way, Yuval, you give permission that we go through this? Yes? You don't give permission? Are you okay with it? Yeah, but because it involves Yuval, I want to make sure that we're sensitive to all sides. Okay, this is good. This is also good for tikkun right now. We're experiencing tikkun and Satan in motion, guys. Please.
So I happened to miss the class before this, but I listened to it on my way over here. And you spoke about, you know, watch the people that you're in a group with. You're going to get triggered. So I'm like, okay, here we go. And during your lecture, I was getting triggered, and I felt during this section that some people might have been oversharing. And the same people happened to be having commentary during your lecture. And yeah, my little voice within me was getting agitated.
Like, I just want to hear the lecture.
Yeah.
I want to hear about Satan.
Right.
Right.
So that came up, and we didn't get to everybody. And I said, guys, I'm being triggered, and other people need to share, and I want to deal with this. I want to work on this. So I now know why we're in a group together, but.
Okay. That's very good. Yuval, what's the lesson you learned?
I grew up in a house that pause for me, it was all my life. Swallow the saliva twice before you say anything. Life is beautiful. There is no Satan. There is nothing like this. Around the environment that I grew up, it was beautiful. So I argue about this, that there is no Satan. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing, what do? You brush your teeth, you wash your face, and you look in the mirror. The day is beautiful in the minute that you smile to the mirror. That's all I said. So there is people that believe in Satan. They are welcome to believe in this. In my life, and I'm 57, I never had any bad life. My life is very positive. All my life. If you are single right now, there is a reason to be single. Somebody will show up in your life and you will be happy. But until then, you can make your life happy anyway.
Do I have permission?
Now is your turn.
So I'll say, everything you said is correct. And it's positive. And in fact, probably all of us, myself included, need to receive that strength. What I want you to know is that the best way for you to communicate that all of us can hear it, is in a way of pause. Because if I'm always trying to tell people what life is about, even myself, if I go around telling people, guys, this is what life is about, without their permission, without them desiring to hear me, I'll never be able to help anybody. Your message is powerful, but what Satan is doing is making you say it in a time where no one can hear it. A big empty container with a few coins makes a lot of noise. And something that's filled with a lot of coins and a lot of wealth, when you shake it, it makes no noise. It's quiet. You are a full container. People will feel you. We're picking on you, Val, but it's all of us that are learning this amazing lesson, myself included, by the way. Definitely myself included. Thank you guys for sharing this example. So that's it for tonight, guys. Thank you very much. I apologize, we went a little bit over today, but I feel it was helpful. So have a wonderful week and we'll see you soon.